Blog Talk Radio.
Today on a special edition of The Big Show, we celebrate the 20th anniversary of a classic album, Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite. We'll listen to Maxwell in his own words, plus listen to songs from the landmark album that was a game changer for R&B music. So have a seat and relax as we take you back to 1996 and the birth of a classic on episode 285 of Keeping It Real with Film Gordon. Let's go.
Now let's start the show. Step out of the cold. We come from the cold. To the top of the globe. The pits and the holes, the folks and the stones. Whoever you ride for, we back for some more. Get back to the show. You know.
Welcome to episode 285 of The Big Show, Keeping It Real with Film Gordon, and a special Saturday edition of our show, which is here to celebrate the 20th anniversary, as we said, of Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite, which was released on today, 20 years ago. Now, this album, of course, was a debut album from Maxwell, and as I said, released today on Columbia Records on April 2nd, 1996. Maxwell worked on the album between 1994 and 1995, so it was shelved for a year or maybe two because they didn't really understand what to do with this album. The record's music features a mellow groove bass sound with elements of funk, jazz, smooth soul, and quiet storm. Now, a concept album, Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite was composed as a song cycle that focused on an adult romance based in part on Maxwell's personal experience. Now, although the album was not an immediate commercial success, it was helped by the release of his second single, Ascension, Don't Ever Wonder. Eventually becoming a million seller, the Urban Hang Suite was also a success with critics who praised it as a departure from the mainstream hip-hop-oriented R&B of the time, while earning Maxwell several accolades in comparison to soul singers of the past, particularly Marvin Gaye. And now the success of Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite elevated his reputation to that of a sex symbol and a notable performer in the music industry. Maxwell was credited with shaping the neo-soul movement of musicians that rose to prominence during the late 1990s, and along with D'Angelo's Brown Sugar and Erykah Badu's Baduism, the album provided commercial exposure to neo-soul and has since been cited by several critics as Maxwell's greatest work. Now, before we get into the show, we're going to kind of listen to the album today. We're going to try to play the entire album as well as an interview that was conducted on BET Tonight with Tavis Smiley. He had Maxwell on the show back in 1998, and this was between the release of his first album, which was the album that we're saluting today, and the release of his second album, which was Embryo. So this is Maxwell in his own words in this interview, which we will play throughout the show, interspersed with his album, that kind of captures him in a moment that the success that we're talking about with the album, he's kind of going through that success, or he's living in a world that success has taken place, and he hasn't had Embryo or any of the other follow-up albums. So it's a refreshing take or refreshing time in Maxwell's life to get into his headspace to understand what he was saying and the messages that he was trying to get out in his music. So we say all that by saying that we're going to start off with our first clip from Maxwell, where the question was asked of him on how does he feel being referred to as the future of R&B.
I don't know, you know, I'm just taking it one day at a time, and sometimes, you know, those kinds of connections can be, you know, a problem in trying to proceed with the rest of your career that's honestly really just starting.
Yeah.
So and I guess I for me it's like I don't know what to do about that. All I can do is just continually create and do what I do the way I do it, and see how it like sort of lands, you know.
Well, you're doing it well, and I can sense or assume that the accolades are nice for you. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is whether or not you feel pressured by that.
Oh, completely. I think a lot of what my second album is, the riddle of it, the perplexing quality of it is inspired solely based on that. A lot of that sort of clear-cut expectation and understanding of who I'm supposed to be when I haven't even really started yet energy. But then there are other things that, you know, fall in line with why I did the album the way I did it. But also, at the end of the day, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. I mean, who could have imagined? I mean, I'm from Brooklyn. You know, I started playing keyboards when I was 16 in my room with a Casio that was too small for my actual fingers to even get around. So for me, it's like, it's amazing that all of a sudden you're in situations like this. You know, I never thought that it would actually happen this way. I thought for me it was going to be, I'd be lucky enough to write a song for somebody who was popular. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, and never was.
Columbia worried would be interpreted as old-fashioned. Now, the label executives also feared that his romantic concept and image would not appeal to listeners. Maxwell only made matters worse by refusing to allow his picture to be placed on the album's front cover. Instead, he preferred to have the track listing and other information he felt more important about the album in place of his photo. Now, in his interview with Tavis Smiley, that I explained that occurred between the release of the Urban Hang Suite as well as Embria, he set out for an interview with Tavis Smiley on BET Tonight. And Tavis asked him to explain a statement that he had made in an earlier interview that creativity for him was innately female. And this is his response, which I thought was very, very interesting.
You know what I think it is? It's like, for me, it's like, as a man, I mean, you know, my desires fall, you know, I guess it's my weird philosophy. I mean, I look at religion and I look at my adoration for women and the respect that I have for women, particularly, you know, being West Indian and seeing like what those women represent in those communities, how they're truly the backbone, you know, of the household. And I think maybe because my father passed away when I was three, you know, I could really appreciate what my mother had to go through to raise me. And also, you know, being not necessarily the most popular kid in school, you know, when
you were a nerd by your own definition.
Completely.
Yeah.
So for me, the innate feminine aspect of what creativity means, it kind of connects to the fact that women can give birth and the fact that there's an abstract energy that comes with creativity. And I think women understand things on a more abstract level than men can sometimes, and because I make music, that's like my way of being that sort of energy. Mm-hmm. But you know, everything else just, you know, is what it is as far as like me being a man. But when I can make music, I mean, that's my closest way of doing what I think women do when they have children and when they look as good as they can look. Mm-hmm. Herbert Hanksweet is.
Yeah.
I mean, the sad thing about making music for me is I think that when those things happen to me, when there's a great deal of pain in my life and I get to write about it, that's what makes a great deal more sense to people.
Mm-hmm.
The happiness that I can feel sometimes, I don't think is as commercial or marketable.
Are you saying you think folk relate to pain more so than pleasure?
Yeah, because I think Embryo for me is about a great self-awareness, the fact that I'm free from so many of the petty things that leave me to always feel so insecure about myself and not sure about my path and who I'm going to be, whereas Urban Hangsuite is about me getting dumped.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'll just like save all the enlightened stuff next time maybe. But nah, actually, you know what? I'm just going to do what I feel because that's what you got to do here, you know?
Thank you.
important in our celebration of the 20th anniversary of Maxwell's Urban Hang. And, of course, you just finished listening to Reunion, preceded by Lonely, The Only Company, Part 1 and 2. Whenever, wherever, whatever, till the cops come knocking, dance with me in Ascension, Don't Ever Wonder. All righty. So Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite received positive reviews from critics upon its release, and it was called a masterpiece by several reviewers who viewed it as a departure from the mainstream hip-hop R&B of the time. Maxwell was also compared to soul singers of the 1960s and 70s. Now, writing for Vibe, O.J. Lehman said the record had a refreshing detour from hump-bumping 90s R&B, while Entertainment Weekly wrote that Maxwell's smooth hip-hop and soul edges proves that black dance music doesn't automatically mean ghetto culture. The New York Daily News called it one of the few modern sex albums to offer a sense of soul, and Urban Latino hailed it as one of the most refreshing soul releases of the year, writing that Maxwell exhibited the soul of Curtis Mayfield, the poetics of Benny Moore, and the stage presence of Michael Jackson pre-Thriller. All right, so again, while it didn't come out the box strong as an album that people really, really relished, the critics jumped on it immediately, and then the audience came around to this guy whose music was just so, so different. Now, in another interview, Maxwell, during the same interview that we talked about earlier with Tavis Smiley on BET Tonight, Maxwell was asked, why did you fight your record company to keep your face off the cover of Urban Hang Suite?
Because, I mean, the music is always first for me. I think I'm just a detail, honestly. I feel very much like a detail in the scheme. The music is more important. The experience that the people who hear it, how they apply it to their own lives. You know, like, my life is really not important in comparison to your own and what you do with the songs that you take in that I give. And the choice if you want to take it or not take it. I'm not here to make money. I mean, I think if I really wanted to make a lot of money, my music would sound very different. It would be a certain kind of way. I really just want to affect, I want to cleanse myself of whatever I'm going through at the moment, and I want to reach out to people who can relate. So that's why I do this. So if I sell more records one time or don't the other time, that absolutely does not matter to me at all, because it's about the expression, and that's it.
Got you, lady.
All right, and welcome back to our 20th anniversary celebration from Maxwell's debut album, The Urban Hang Suite. We've been featuring it for the last hour and a half, as well as clips from an interview that Maxwell did from 1998 with Tavis Smiley on BET Tonight. And as I expressed earlier, that interview occurred between the release of the Urban Hang Suite and the release of his second or his sophomore effort, Embria. And during that interview, the question was posed to him by Tavis Smiley on why he fought so hard for creative control, which was something that was rare and unusual for debut artists at that time.
I mean, it's the backbone of what makes me feel so special about being at that company. I mean, from my A&R who signed me, from even all the people who were before that, who got it to that point. I have an unbelievable relationship with Don Einar, the president of the company. He is always behind me. It's not about hit records. It's not about, you know, it's nice when you can sell 3 million records, 5-6 million records, or have all kinds of awards and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's about a career for them in regards to me. And let me tell you, I mean, that is the biggest blessing. On top of all that I have with the people who support me on a live level, my fans who have always been behind me, that is such a blessing to know that your record company is just looking for you to just be inspired.
All right. Now, Maxwell's role in writing and producing the album exhibited a level of artistic control by an R&B artist that was uncoming in the recording industry at that time. The unexpected commercial and critical success of Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite helped establish him as a serious performer in the music industry, and he was described by critics as part of a new generation of smooth soul crooners, and he obtained a reputation among fans as a sex symbol, which, according to one journalist, was due to his wild afro and extravagant cheekbones. I'm going to take a guess that that journalist was a sister. And Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite lures them into the heart of a romantic encounter that ends with a marriage proposal. The honest, sincere sexuality has struck a collective nerve with many in his audience who have built, renewed, or refined relationships based on the many messages found in the songs from the Urban Hang Suite. Maxwell's emotive power seduced not only significant numbers of both the urban and pop audiences, but critics as well. Now, Maxwell's following studio albums were received less enthusiastically by critics, who were more critical of his songwriting on his next two albums, Embria in 1998 and Now in 2001. Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite has been cited by several critics as his best album, and I absolutely agree. I think it is his best album, even though I have a lot of love for Embria as well, and that's another story that I'll tell on another day. So I want to thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week on The Big Show, Keeping It Real with Phil Gordon. Peace. And if you want to relive this, you can go back in on Blog Talk Radio and listen to this show again. We all love Maxwell. Congratulations on 20 years, an amazing achievement. You guys take care, and we'll see you on the other side.
Nobody knows. This is the way it is. When you're keeping it real now, and this is how it goes. But nobody knows. But just the way.